Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let me be perfectly ambivalent. Say what? What? This is Wretched Radio. That's right. I'm going to be perfectly ambivalent. Why? Because, Jimmy?
Yes?
Do I sound like the bass singer from the Oak Ridge Boys?
A little bit. I was wondering.
I don't know what the... Well, we were up kind of late last night. We were at Kennesaw State University, and, you know, it got a little late. So, sorry. Sorry if I sound like J.D. Sumner. And if you got that, then you like Elvis too much. Speaking of Elvis, when is that epic movie going to come out? This, you're going to love this. There's a movie about Elvis. Apparently, the guy who made the last Elvis movie found a ton of unseen footage of Elvis in concert. That makes every Elvis fan go, ooh, ah. And he put it together in a movie, and it's called Epic. Elvis Presley in Concert. See what he did right there? And they debuted it somewhere in Canada. I don't know why they got that right, but I can't find it anywhere. I need Epic. Maybe I'm the one who has too much affection for Elvis music. The point is, we were out a little bit late because we were at Kennesaw State University talking about mental health with Dr. Greg Gifford. And Jimmy, Greg spent some time with you in the studio, didn't he?
He did. He most certainly did.
Is that dude not just on point?
Absolutely.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Hey, I heard something so exciting. I don't know if it was 30 days, 60 days. I wasn't exactly sure, but I saw some numbers on podcast subscribers. Did I share this with you? Greg's podcast?
Yeah, I think you... Yeah.
Like 3,300.
Yeah, that's what
new people that said, yeah, this is really good stuff.
It's crazy.
All the podcasts are growing like crazy. If you're not familiar with them, you can learn more at FortisPlus.org or FortisInstitute.org, whatever your preference is. You will be blessed like a nobody's business. Greg was so good at Kennesaw State and University of North Georgia, talking about a biblical word that only gets used three times, but it is done in conjunction with a concept that is life-changing. The word is transformation, being transformed. How do you become a new person? And like only Greg can, he said something like, just stop and think for a minute. God can make you a new person, not just mask your symptoms, not just help you feel numb to whatever the stressors are in your life, but to make you new. How hopeful is that? Because he wants to transform you. How does he do that? And he used 2 Corinthians 3:18 as his text. You behold the glory of God and you'll be changed, transformed from one level of glory to another. It's by having a big view of God, by looking outside of yourself. What does the world tell you today? Look at you. Study your navel constantly and let your insides present themselves on the outsides, and we all have to praise it. And the Bible comes along and says, you're looking in the wrong direction. And when you think about it, we're really looking in the low direction, aren't we? We're looking at ourselves. But instead, if you turn your eyes up and look at God revealed through his word, now you got a big vision. Now you're setting your gaze on something that will transform you. It was super good, but it got a little bit late. So let me now be perfectly ambivalent. You say, what kind of a talk show host is that? Well, one who will probably get fired pretty soon because typically we have to bang our fists on the table. But as best I can tell, these are not brand new issues that I believe are confronting evangelicals, but I think that they are two issues that are coming to the forefront in a more forceful way that I think we need to think about. We have a tendency, courtesy of social media, to hear an issue and just, you know, I got this sorted, I got this figured out. Well, these issues I wouldn't say they're the most complex on the planet, but they ain't simple either. And I think right now we would do well to, could we possibly have a conversation about these issues without drawing stark lines, at least yet? I think there will be a time for that. I've observed this over the years, that something pops up, it kind of befuddles us. We sort it, figure it out, and then eventually, and it can be a shorter or greater amount of time, we kind of sort it and settle. For instance, the issue about attending an LGBTQ wedding. When that first came out, it was like, well, some were definitive on both sides. But mostly, I think people were like, what do I do with that? And it didn't take all that long. I would say easily within 2 years. I don't know why 2 years is stuck in my brain, but it is. And then I think the consensus was, you just can't affirm that. Your presence says something. Your presence speaks, and it tells the world you affirm what is happening before your eyes. And I think we came to that consensus basically, but it took a little bit of time. I think that's the case with these two issues. Here's issue number one, believe it or not, free speech. No doubt you've heard Jimmy Kimmel was, what did they say? Temporary, indefinitely suspended. Well, that lasted about a minute. And when I say minute, I mean minute. It was like really short. And there's all kinds of politics. There's mergers happening. Now you've got misinformation, and you've got a standard for the networks that doesn't exist for cable news. You can't say something really wrong or the FCC is going to jump all over you for genuinely presenting false information, especially intentionally. And so Jimmy Kimmel, what was the thing that he said?
I don't remember exactly what it was.
It was something about Charlie Kirk, of course. A MAGA guy was the one who killed Charlie
Kirk.
Right,
yeah, that was it.
All right. And so for that, he found himself experiencing what we've been experiencing. That is getting outed, getting fired, being removed from your teaching position. If you say something, Christian, and I think we do well to look back and remember how much we dislike this. Well, now we're seeing it happen to a degree in an instance, for example, Jimmy Kimmel. And before you say this is different, just hang in there for a second. We've got to start asking some questions about the issue of free speech, understanding hate speech. What is that? Does that even exist? What about just plain ugly speech? I was about dumb speech. Not misinformed speech. Where is that line? And do we want either the government shutting down people who exercise their right to free speech, even when it's dumb, or even when it's mean? Now, dangerous, we'll talk about that category, but when it's mean, is it okay? Are we still protected? Will you lose your job? And I got to tell you, this stuff ain't easy, because I get the idea that private industry should be able to fire somebody if they don't think that they're a representative of their organization. But immediately I go, but wait a second. If an organization hears you saying something on Facebook, or you make a YouTube video that they don't like and they don't agree with regarding that social or religious issue, then they have the right to fire you. It's like, yeah, that street can go both ways. And so it is now. We've got people that are talking about this issue publicly. May I ask at this juncture, where do you stand? Where do you stand? Should it all be protected? Now, I've heard people say what Jimmy Kimmel did is it's different than what these other people did. Okay. And if that's the case, we'll sort through that. Again, let me suggest we all just kind of work through this and sort through this. For instance, it appears, at least as I stand here now, maybe that's changed. National Religious Broadcasters, NRB. Good folks, Troy Miller, good brother. They haven't said anything about it, at least yet, that I'm aware of. Okay, what? I'm not going to speculate on why or why not. I have no idea. But they haven't even come out with, here's the stance on it. Can we take this time to sort it. In an effort to do that, while there were a number, I grabbed an article from ministrywatch.com, Warren Cole Smith. Headline, Jimmy Kimmel, Religious Broadcasters, and You. He quotes Robert George, if you're not familiar with him, is a professor of law at Princeton University. Long post, but here's what he said. We should not want public officials pressuring companies to fire or discipline people for their First Amendment protected speech, even when it's false. It's simply too great a threat to civil liberty. Okay, just for yucks, let me press against that. But what about a private organization? They're privately run. They don't want to have that. If it's a right to work, they can just fire somebody. But do they not get to do that because free speech is protected? What I'm trying to say is this gets a little bit tricky. And I think this is the time for evangelicals to really think it through well and articulate our position, because what's good for the goose could be really horrible for the gander. We might really dig it now, but maybe not after the midterms, or maybe not after the next presidential election. So what I'm trying to say is at the moment, I'm being definitively ambivalent. And I will continue to be so next on Wretched Radio.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone, and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Irenaeus was an apologist and disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. He served as the Bishop of Lyon and wrote against heresies, a refutation of Gnosticism and Docetism, in which he demonstrated the coherence and necessity of the Incarnation.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Goose? Meet Gander. This is Wretched Radio. I think now is it a first base, second base? I think a bass singer. Now you think four parts. You got your bass, you got your tenor, alto, soprano, but I think that you've got first and second tenor, first and seconds. So I think now I've moved up. I'm no longer a deep bass. I'm just still thanks to everybody who put in so much effort for the two events at Kennesaw State University. Faith Community Church rocked the Casbah. That's Shane Kohler's church. It is such a joy to get together with another church and it just be immediately sweet. Don't you love that about Christianity? That you find another believer and it's like, dude, we're locked in. This is good because you have something bigger in common rather than self or economic interests or the same moral values. Your relationship is built on a much bigger foundation, Jesus Christ. So when you find somebody who's a believer, it's like, sweet. So a bunch of folks from Faith Community Church who really helped get the word out at Kennesaw State University for the presentation Greg Gifford and I did called Why Aren't You Happier? They were so sweet and they work so hard. And it's such a joy for me when people sometimes visit Alpharetta Bible Church, which you probably don't know geography in Georgia, butts up against Woodstock, which is where Faith Community Church is. And if somebody is from there, I'm very quick to say, hey, if you're checking out churches, don't overlook that church. Because it's really important you are close to a church. Because if you're not, you're just going to find a reason to miss stuff and not be as engaged. And that's a bummer. In fact, I would even say this. Now, I wouldn't give the number, what the percentage difference is. Jimmy, you tell me if you agree with this. It is better to be in a pretty good church closer to you than to be in a good church further away. Now, I don't know if it's like what pretty good and good is.
Yeah.
But proximity is so important. If you're driving an hour to get to church and you could be driving 15, it's not a perfect rule, but I think that it's worth noting. You got to find a church close to your house.
Yeah, you want to be in a good church, but you also want to be in a good community as well. And that, I mean, if you have to drive over an hour away, that prevents sometimes you being involved in things.
Oh, definitely. And not only just church events, but also just life on life events. Because if let's just say you're an hour away on the north side and somebody who goes to church is an hour away on the south side and Mr. South Side finds himself in the hospital and you want to start a meal train for the family, you probably ain't going to be delivering that 2 hours away. And you're just going to miss stuff. So thanks to Faith Community Church, folks at FCA who were so helpful. They so desire to see students saved on campus. It was a treat. And incidentally, the Charlie Kirk incident on campus, there was a young man who asked a question and I asked him what the response was to the Charlie Kirk business. And he said, this is his take on it. Okay, this is a student's observation on campus. He said, I saw both sides of the spectrum. I saw those who were like, yippee skippy, he's dead. Ooh. But he also said on the other side, he saw them saying, let's get them, boys. Uh-oh, that's a problem too. That's the mood, at least on a university campus, maybe in the country, because we are seeing both sides, I think one more than the other, but nevertheless, Charlie Kirk has been, he's revealed a lot, hasn't he? Which brings us to free speech. Charlie Kirk was a huge proponent of free speech, stating, hey, you got to let people say pretty much whatever they want. Now, what's the pretty much? Danger. If you incite violence, you motivate people to hurt somebody, that's not allowable because that's actually trying to harm somebody. But if you say something that agitates someone, that's not the same thing. And that's precisely why we need free speech. Well, now Pam Bondi, she is the U.S. Attorney General. Now, she's moderated her position, I grant you that, but she was being interviewed and she was like, whoa, that's a little different for a conservative. in talking about hate speech, stating she's going to come down hard on purveyors of nasty left-wing rhetoric. We will absolutely target you, go after you. If you are targeting anyone with hate speech, that was on the Katie Miller podcast. Okay, what? That scares me immediately, because guess what Christianity is? Hateful. Guess what is stating anything morally with precision that doesn't agree with somebody? That's hate speech. So this is a time for us to really think this through, and I think articulate our position and our understanding really, really well. What do we do when people say something that gets up our nose? And we're seeing people, they're losing their jobs. Jimmy Kimmel got fired, at least temporarily. He's back. But do we want that? Do we want companies to be able to fire? Do we want the FCC to come down? From Warren Cole Smith at Ministry Watch, he says, be careful, because what could be good for the goose, where we rejoice and see these liberals kind of getting what we think they got coming to them for terrible speech, rejoicing at a young man's death. That's ugly business. But he cites Robert George, rather. It's simply unsafe to trust government officials with the power to, in effect, regulate First Amendment protected speech. It is power too easily abused. Now, he cites, rightly so, that some have defended the FCC, saying that regulating the public airwaves is what they're supposed to do. They're not overreaching its mission. They're fulfilling its mission. Okay, I think we need to think that through. And we need to consider that, which is why at this moment I'm being perfectly, emphatically ambivalent, because, I mean, I'm leaning one way, I think. Nevertheless, I'm seeing people that aren't stupid say they see it another way. So I'm going to just do my bestest to work through it and sort through it. So this is from the article from Smith. If today you're defending FCC's right to squash the speech of Jimmy Kimmel, you may soon get a chance to see how much more aggressive, emboldened, and powerful the FCC is under a less sympathetic administration. They might squash the speech of the hundreds of Christian teachers and the thousands of Christian radio stations who carry them. In other words, we better think this thing through, because while we may enjoy seeing Jimmy Kimmel lose his job for a couple of days, that table could turn very, very quickly. Joshua Arnold, writing in the Christian Post regarding Pam Bondi versus Charlie Kirk, is hate speech free speech? I think this is helpful. You need to know constitutional right to free speech is not absolute. There are a number of cases. I won't bore you with what they're called, but the U.S. Supreme Court, 1942, described well-defined and narrowly limited classes of speech, including the lewd and obscene, the profane, the libelous, hurting somebody, insulting or fighting words. And so it's not the first time we've had this conversation in this country. What is protected and what isn't? Now, they didn't say anything in 1942 about what we call hate speech. By the way, define hate. Who gets to say what that is? Well, if it's in the ears of the hearer, uh-oh, we're in big trouble, because you can say, you know, I think it would be a good idea to plant this week because of the temperature and the fall rains, to let the roots settle in. That's hateful. I hate you. And you've got, then guess what? The gardener is guilty because it hurts somebody's feelings. Conservatives and Christians, this is from Arnold at the Christian Post, need only to think back to the Biden administration to recall the weaponization of government against American speech. And we all know that that happened. And we didn't like it then. So what do we do? What do we say now when we see it, kind of like when we want to go, Jimmy Kimmel, gotcha. Maybe Charlie Kirk can speak a word into this, even from the grave. Quote, my position is even that hate speech should be completely and totally allowed in our country. The most disgusting speech should absolutely be protected. As soon as you use the word hate, it's a subjective term. Then all of a sudden it's in the eyes or the implementation of whomever has the power. Let me definitively proclaim. Let's talk through this and sort it and articulate this. Because if we don't, well, then just the winds of culture and of current events are going to determine the issue. And it's way too important of an issue. Because we want freedom of speech. We want freedom of religion. We want to be able to go, sorry, Hillary Clinton, and practice our faith outside of church doors. Now, what was it, Canada? Yeah, in Quebec, the atheist mayor or some, whatever his department was to squash Christianity, the secularism minister. You don't pray outside. Take it inside. Oof-da. If we don't get this sorted and rightly, we could be the gander. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, production of Fortis Institute. Looking back on the Biden administration's final days, it reveals just how deep the rot went in weaponizing federal agencies against people of faith. Previously unreleased emails have now been released, and they show the FBI and DOJ developed what they called amazing relationships with the National Abortion Federation to prosecute peaceful pro-life protesters. Meanwhile, in Virginia, a senator is demanding answers after a Fairfax County school social worker allegedly pressured two Hispanic minors to abort their babies using school funds without their parents' knowledge. A whistleblower teacher says she reported this 7 times to administrators who ignored her, yet the superintendent claims they just learned about it last week. Yeah, Governor Glenn Youngkin has ordered a criminal investigation into whether federal Hyde Amendment funds were misused. And the foster care system in Maryland has descended into criminal negligence. A new state audit reveals that the state placed children with sex offenders and paid a convicted murderer over $1,200 per day to supervise kids in hotels. The audit found 10 foster children living with registered sex offenders because nobody bothered to run background checks. This is all going on in the state of Maryland. Across the pond, British police are now making house calls to cancer patients over hurt feelings on Facebook. Police from one department visited an American citizen, a bald cancer patient living alone, because someone was upset by her social media posts. Police visited and warned her that she would have to come in for an official interview at the department if she didn't apologize. Now, we're talking about the same Britain where someone was arrested for criticizing gender ideology, all while actual criminals are roaming free. Justice was served in Florida, however, as Ryan Ruth was convicted of attempting to assassinate President Trump, and then tried to stab himself in the neck with a pen when the verdict was read. The man who built a sniper's vest at Trump's golf course decided to represent himself, and the judge had warned him that self-representation was a bad idea, so he can't say he didn't know. Major automakers are begging the Trump administration to roll back Biden's delusional EV mandates that demand up to 56% electric vehicles by 2032, with the $7,500 tax credit expiring and charging infrastructure still a fantasy. The Alliance for Automotive Innovation says these rules are just simply not achievable. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And as always, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Talk about a lemon.
What's wrong with you?
We can talk about a lemon. We're going to talk about Don Lemon. Alrighty. This is Wretched Radio. Leave it to Don Lemon to lead the charge in what I think many of us saw coming. The people on the left who observed the Charlie Kirk Memorial are calling it Christian nationalism. And this is subject number 2. I think we evangelicals really do well to take some time first of all, sorting and then articulating. Because I haven't heard, myself included, anybody articulate well just what it looks like for Christian engagement in politics when a nation formerly used to be predominantly Christian. How do you bring your Christianity into either the public square or the government arena? And these are issues we need to understand have historically been challenging. And I think right now we would do really, really well to spend some time. I doubt that we are going to have complete unity on this issue, but I think we better try to articulate it. And as we do, can we do it while maintaining unity, even in disagreement? And you say, wait a second, you can't have unity if there's disagreement. Oh, yes, you can. If you're square on the essentials, you have unity. When you disagree on issues of church, state, government, jurisdiction, what the role of church, state is, who has what authority over what, how far can the government go, what can the Christian response be to a tyrannical government? These are things that historically we've talked about them for years here on Wretched Radio. We've never had consensus, but we can still have unity, can't we? Unity is sweet. Jimmy, get ready. I've got a sermon illustration.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to use it in a sermon. I'm kind of allergic to illustrations. I don't know why, but I, especially personal. Pastor, you can certainly talk about yourself during the sermon and use something that happened that week as an illustration. Rock on. Seriously. From my perspective, no harm, no foul. I just can't do it. I guess I'll use it here. I don't know what the difference is, but here we are. Mrs. Friel and I went to a meeting in our subdivision. We live in it's not a very big HOA community. And somebody wants to build something on the land that abuts to our division. And they want to use the roads and all of that stuff. So at any rate, we got together for a meeting. Everybody brought their chairs. We sat out on the middle of the street and talked about the property right there. That's what they're going to do. How does everybody feel about this? And guess what happened? We all agreed. And as we pick up our chairs, very brief meeting because everybody agreed. Very brief meeting. Please note, it was a very brief meeting because we had consensus. And as we're walking down the street back to our respective homes, a guy said, "Man, that was really nice. We all agreed." And I went, B-I-N-G-O, there it is. When we agree on the essentials, it is so nice. When we agree on everything, isn't it better? Don't you just love being with somebody where it's like, dude, we're like on the same page with just about everything. It's really sweet, isn't it? And I think if nothing else, it points toward the sweetness of unity, how delightful it is, how good, how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. We want to strive for that. We want that to be something that we want it. And then on the occasions when we can't have it because it's an essential issue, we mourn that. Because Jesus wants us to be one, even as he and the Father are one. And we need to be able to find that balance of holding firmly to the essentials and slightly more loosely on the non-essentials so that we can have unity together. And I think this is one of those times, and this is not the first time I've said it, which is why Don Lemon did not surprise me in the least. The debate over Christian nationalism, what it is, the role of Christians in politics, et cetera, let's talk about it because Don Lemon is saying what he saw at the Charlie Kirk Memorial, that's Christian nationalism. And even a Christian nationalist, of whom I am not a part, they would say, no, it wasn't, but I don't think I've heard anybody articulate why it wasn't. Now, I'm not even saying it was. I'm just saying I've never heard anybody say, well, here's how we Christians do this. And I think if we listen to the words of Don Lemon, which apparently very few people do these days, then I think that maybe it will help us to sharpen how we speak about these issues. According to Don Lemon, former CNN host, I guess he's been going out into the street. I saw that video when he finds himself a conservative in New York or wherever he is. He doesn't quite know how to respond to them there people. He said the Turning Point Charlie Kirk Memorial was a thin-veiled political rally dressed as church. Now, you and I might be willing to go, ah, Don Lemon, and be done with it. I don't think we should. Because here's the reality. And by the way, we did a video on this. I thought it was an extraordinary event. And I mean that in a positive kind of way. Overall, yep, quibble here, quibble there. But overall, wow, the gospel was genuinely proclaimed so repeatedly. It was just staggering. But there was politics and there was church. Apparently, I think somebody said, I saw a tweet where somebody said that the open, like the music that was playing between the speakers was actually Grace Community Church, which is kind of cool. Okay, so it was kind of churchy, wasn't it? It was a memorial for a man who is a Christian. And so, of course, we're going to speak Christianly, but they talked about politics. So what does a guy like Don Lemon see? It was a thinly veiled political rally dressed as church. You articulate that and tell Don why that's wrong. Go. It's not easy. And what I'm saying is, I think we need to be able to articulate it, to explain it to the Don Lemons of the world. I think we need, and not all Christians are going to be singing out the same song sheet on this issue, but I think the ability to say, well, you know, you can talk about politics and talk about your Christian faith simultaneously. Well, Don has concerns. He said the event wasn't just about a man who died. This was about a movement claiming divine permission to rule. Now, I didn't see that. I didn't even hear anything resembling that. But Don Lemon did. A liberal did. I think the Charlie Kirk Memorial scared people who are, ooh, wow, they're angry, aren't they? Did you see, Jimmy, is this story true about the young lady? On Tuesday, Donald Trump, Robert Kennedy made the announcement that they believe acetaminophen and Tylenol is the cause, is like the big cause for the increase in autism diagnoses. And immediately I saw this on Not the Bee. And women, you could just see their baby bumps taking Tylenol.
Yeah.
Like
several have gone to the ER with toxicity.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
Okay. That's who we're living with. We need to help them understand. You don't need to be scared. And so I think we need to use Don Lemon as our, we don't have to talk about him all the time, but just he represents a lot of people and his thinking is represented from his podcast. I think we need to engage with. And as I stand here, look, I'm saying it too. It's not, I don't think that I can express, I've got an opinion on church state and all that jazz. Christian engagement, how we influence, don't, what that looks like. I kind of have it sorted pretty clearly in my mind. Ask me to articulate it. Currently, as I look at the clock, we have 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. I don't think I could get it done. And my point is we need to. We these days, communication, we need to have text length. We need to be able to Twitter something like, boom, this is why, Don, you don't need to be in a panic over what you saw. Don Lemon said, it was a revival meeting wrapped in a memorial. Okay. A political rally dressed as church. What does he care? It was a dude's funeral. It was a memorial. I mean, what did... At any rate. And by the end of the night, it was clear this was not only about Charlie Kirk's death. It was about his afterlife in politics. It was religious nationalism on full display. Okay, was it? And if it was... How do you explain that that shouldn't be a problem? And if it wasn't, how would you tell Don, no, it's not? And I really, really wish that I had a fortune cookie in front of me that I could open and say, well, here's what we say to people. I don't have that because I haven't been able to articulate it. And it is my observation. Nobody else has been either. And this is not to create more camps in our conservative circles. It's to encourage us. We got to be able to respond to this stuff. He said, the language was unmistakable. Take the nation back for God. Restore America's covenant. I heard none of that. But he saw that. He said, "This." It sounded like this is not the language of democracy. This is the language of domination. Very concerned about government officials speaking out about their Christian faith. Okay. I didn't have a problem with it. Now, would I have had a problem with it if it had been like the mayor of Dearbornistan? Did you see that video, by the way? Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. How do we explain to the Don Lemons of the world, whatever your position is, in a pithy way, so that they can at least understand? This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Giffert, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. God is incomprehensible. Finite humans cannot fully comprehend the one who created everything. Yet he has revealed himself in the Bible. And while we cannot know him exhaustively, we can know what is true about him. And once we are reconciled through Christ, we will never stop learning about him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What kind of fool am I? Please don't answer that question. This is Wretched Radio. What was I thinking? I'm blathering on about the need, in my opinion, for evangelicals to articulate their position regarding free speech and the mingling of church and state, what that looks like, what it doesn't look like. So confused people like Don Lemon don't have a conniption over a memorial where the gospel was proclaimed, thinking that's Christian nationalism. See, they want to take over the country. How do we articulate our position? And right before my very eyes, although I better look hard because it appears that he is the incredible shrinking man, is Jimmy Hicks. Jimmy, how much weight have you lost anyway?
61 pounds.
Dude, like overnight.
Not overnight.
No, seriously. When did you start the? Are you doing the Ozempic shot in the tummy?
No. That stuff's expensive.
Is
and
it?
And I have horrible insurance.
All right. So you're not. But what are you doing?
It's a long story to explain, but basically I'm fasting.
Not eating anything?
Yeah. But I mean, I'm eating, but not.
Is it intermittent fasting?
It's a version of that.
So you're writing your own rules.
Basically,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But you're dropping pounds like nobody's business.
Man,
now are you like getting lightheaded? You're going to pass out on us?
No, I do electrolytes too, so that doesn't happen. But I feel better than I have ever felt in my life.
Dude, that rocks.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
I am a believer in this.
Yeah, but, and okay, you've disclosed it before, so I'm not revealing something private here.
Hmm.
You got rid of your diabetes by losing a bunch of weight.
Yeah, I did years ago. And that's why I started back this time, because I went to the doctor just for the checkup and my A1C was elevated and I gained 50 pounds, which I didn't know because I didn't get on the scale. So it was just ignorance. I knew I was gaining some weight, didn't know how much. And so my A1C, it wasn't at diabetic level, but it was trending.
It was knocking on the door.
Yeah, and I did not want to go back to that place again. So.
But you know what, Jimmy? I hate to rebuke you publicly, but you could be a lot happier. Instead of this dieting business, you could just eat whatever you want to. Take those pills that lower your A1C and you'll be dancing in the grocery store and on the football field all the time. Chasing, they're so happy.
Chasing butterflies.
Those lowering their A1C. Pharmaceutical people. So congratulations to you. You're
Thank
shrinking
you.
Right before. Are you going to keep going with this?
Absolutely, yeah.
What, down to what?
I think I've got about 20 more pounds to go.
All right. So everybody take a good look at Jimmy Hicks while you can still see him. You, the other day, you were so bang on with your points, the 10 points that you created about the need for reformation.
Oh,
if yeah. Charlie Kirk is sparking a revival. Okay, we'll just live with that language. What did you call it? The Charlie effect?
That's what social media is calling it.
Okay, so yeah. The Charlie effect is that it's sparking some sort of national revival, or at least it's contributing to it.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, hey, we got to look at the next step, which is reformation.
Correct.
And you came up with 10 points. They were so good.
Well, 11 now. After I wrote the article, it turned into 11.
All righty.
You gave me the 11th one, honoring our elders.
So do I get credit for this?
You do. I'll put you on the article, like anybody's reading it anyways.
Okay. But they were so good. So now let me ask you, O font of all wisdom,
mm-hmm.
do you have the ability to articulate freedom of speech, your position, in 15 seconds or less, and explain your understanding of church-state relationships so that Don Lemon doesn't continue to have conniptions over a memorial service that talked about Jesus Christ? So, I mean, honestly.
Yeah, so I probably still have a struggle articulating the Christian nationalism thing to Don Lemon, but on the freedom of speech thing, freedom of speech, if we look at the Constitution, is protection from the government, not from private enterprise. So the government can't make laws and then throw us in jail. So if you look at the Jimmy Kimmel situation, his freedom of speech wasn't violated because he wasn't hauled off and thrown in jail.
Okay, but the argument though that we heard from Warren Cole Smith, or at least presenting that side, whether he's leaning that way, it seemed, but that, well, then you're next, Jimmy. You go to work for whomever, secular company.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say you do a Christian podcast. They don't like what they hear. They can fire you for it.
If it's their company that I'm working for, they have every right to, because they own the company.
So then how do you explain all of the belly aching that we did when that was happening under the Biden administration?
Well, I mean, I have to have some examples. But because if the government is getting involved, like you mentioned in that article that the FCC may have put the pressure, that's a problem because the government is then strong arming. But if it's outside of that, if it's private enterprise, they have every
okay,
right.
So your distinction is we're only, freedom of speech is protected from the government,
right.
But no other, like not a corporate entity.
Right.
Not a universe, not, well, that would be government.
Right.
So a university can fire you too. Yeah. If you express your Christian values to the students.
Well, if they have told you expressly up front not to do it, I would say yes.
But wouldn't you have the right to do it? Well, if you're employed by somebody, I think that you need to obey your employer.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
But in a government school that's run by the government, mm-hmm. you don't think that the teacher doesn't have the right to speak about their Christian faith in the classroom?
Well, because that's a law at this point, is it not?
A little bit muddy on that,
yeah.
But I do know this. You were looking for examples. I do know some teachers. They lost their jobs in public schools. Because. Oh, but what about the football guy who was just praying on the 50-yard line?
Yeah, see, those are, I mean, everything is, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, my encouragement is, let's talk this through. Look, look, I'm yakking back and forth with you just to kind of press in and try to get it sorted. We've got to be, you do well to get this figured out because I suspect these two battles are going to get a little hotter again, courtesy of Charlie Kirk, who apparently, according to Ilhan Omar, was a hateful man. And by the way, she lied about him repeatedly. She was at a town council meeting at Elam Lutheran Church in Robbinsdale, Minnesota. I didn't have to go Google to see if it was ELCA. I'm sure that it was. It was a town hall. She lied repeatedly about Charlie Kirk. Okay. Does she have the right to do that, Jimmy? To lie about Charlie Kirk?
It's protected speech.
But she's a government official.
Was she in a government setting at that, making laws?
Well, she was acting as a government representative.
I think she has every right to say hate speech is protected speech. I mean, it's not illegal to be a jerk.
What about lying?
It's protected speech.
What if it hurts somebody? That's libel. I think slander and libel are different things.
It's completely different. It's not illegal. I mean, it's illegal to incite violence.
Okay, there's the word incite. So let's talk about it incites, not like Charles Swindoll, but incites somebody to go out and hurt somebody.
Yeah, then that's
not protected either.
No, that's not protected at all.
All right. Speaking of Charlie Kirk, his wife is saying she doesn't want to be the only one to decide if her husband's alleged killer gets the death penalty. I think this is a really, really important subject to consider because I personally, increasingly, it's not going to become my hobby horse, but the death penalty, it is a biblical idea. I think it reveals a higher view of man. Yes, it does. Because human beings are so special that if you take the life of a human being, you forfeit your life. That's how precious life is. And I think increasingly we need to be taking a look at the death penalty as a nation to deal with people who are just being brutal killers out there. So here's what Erica Kirk said. I've had so many people say, do you feel anger toward this man? Do you want to seek the death penalty? I'll be honest. I told our lawyer, I want the government to decide this. Okay. At that point, I say, I agree. Well, of course, because it's not your jurisdiction. That would be a nightmare situation to live in. That's the government. They're the minister to carry out those punishments. But then she went on, I do not want that man's blood on my ledger. And that's where I would say, Erica, it isn't. You can say that you believe the death penalty should be imposed. You're not the one that's imposing it. You can hold that position without having his blood on your hands. I think you can hold those two simultaneously. She said, when I get to heaven and Jesus is like, eye for an eye, is that how we do it? No, that's not the same thing as the government wielding the sword. The eye for an eye, lex talionis, the law of retaliation. We are not to be the people who take vengeance into our own hands. We turn the other cheek to insults. Now you can defend yourself physically, but we cannot go about the business of you punch me in the arm, I'm going to punch you in the arm. But I've got to keep it at the same level. Well, we're forbidden from doing that. We are not the retaliation people, but that is not the same as the minister appointed by God to go about the business of making sure that we live peaceful lives. And of course, that minister is the government. So I think a Christian can simultaneously say that we're not the retaliatory people. In fact, we must be that people. We're not the vigilantes, if you're concerned or confused about it, Don Lemon. But that doesn't mean that we cannot call for the government to do what is just. And that is if an individual takes a life, their life is required of them. And the Bible gives the government that authority and that power to do that. And that should not cause you to think that you have anybody's blood on your hands because you're calling for the government to do what the Bible says they're supposed to do. Until tomorrow, Go serve your king.